and kpfk.org.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM KPFK, radio powered by the people. 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, and worldwide on the web at www.kpfk.org. Peace!
Heavy on my heart, the chains of irrevocable action, and I only want to be freedom and satisfaction. An instant, a moment can take you away, can take you away. Heavy on my heart, the memories of what my eyes have seen, and I only want to feel fulfilled and serene. In an instant, a moment comes flooding home to me, comes flooding home to me. And you don't got me, I close my eyes and I'm free. And you don't have me, I close my eyes and I'm free. And you don't got me, I close my eyes and I'm free. And you don't have me, I close my eyes and I'm free. Wake up every day to the sound of chains. The past is undone, can never be changed. There's a light in my heart underneath this pain. 'Cause you don't got me, close my eyes and I'm free. And you don't have me, close my eyes and I'm free. And you don't got me, no, I close my eyes and I'm free. And you don't have me, close my eyes and I'm free. From the secret cracks of shadows past, I'm gonna rise up from my past. From the secret cracks of shadows past, I'm gonna rise up from the past.
Good morning and welcome to Think Outside the Cage. I'm your host today, Jessie Bliss, and this is such an honor to return to these airwaves. I want to give a huge shout out to our listening audience, both inside and outside, especially to the men of Lancaster and the women incarcerated at CIW. We're sending you so much love, and to everybody inside and outside in the state, country, and around the world. That music you heard was written by Fanny Franklin. That's Jerry Silva's daughter. Jerry is the founder of this incredible show and my dear friend. I want to give her a huge shout out. Fanny and I wrote that song several years ago, and that's Fanny's voice. She's such a remarkable singer. It's called Chains. Big shout out to Jerry, though, for creating this show. I remember driving up a hill in Mount Washington many years ago and hearing this show on the air and being stunned by how real it was. I couldn't believe anybody would speak like prison about that on public airwaves. And then we started collaborating with our company, The Roots and Wings Project, who's here live in the studio today. We have a really special segment for you. And I joined on and was joined as a host and a producer for a decade, and this is my first show back since the end of 24. So I'm really excited to be here. Today we're going to be focusing on our new project, Realm of the River. It is a decade in the making. I wrote this piece, and I'm really honored to be here with these artists that are bringing it to life, and also with our development director for the Roots and Wings Project, Gabriela Lopez de Dennis. We are a theater company that is socially transformative, and we support voices of the unnamed, unknown, and misunderstood. We're here with the cast, and this piece definitely touches on matters that relate to what wind people up in prison, specifically women. But I do want to say that it's not a women's story. This play is definitely a human story. And that's really what we want to talk about today. What makes this piece human? And it's really the story of these women that go out to have fun one night. They're so excited to hit the city and go dancing and enjoy each other and feel and be alive. And things take a really dark and completely unexpected turn. And in that, they have to negotiate what they're going to do to get themselves out of this emergency situation that has happened, and that could actually happen to anybody. This piece has not live music, but an original score written by Romanowski, who is Swiss-born and has been living in San Francisco his whole adult life, very dear friend, and his music is a beautiful contribution to the piece. We are going to be doing ticket giveaways today to our show, so please stay tuned and you can call in. And we will do the giveaway after our station break. There is another special guest in the house this morning, Brenda Vaca. She is the editor and publisher of Riot of Roses Publishing House. And we're just so honored she's here. It happens that I have a book coming out called A Record of Light, a memoir told in plays, poems, and prose. And this particular play, Realm of the River, is one of the excerpts in this book. And Brenda does extraordinary work in that she brings to light voices of authors that we may not otherwise hear from. These are new stories. Women's voices have been predominantly left out, as have people of color. So Brenda specializes in getting that work out. And we're just really honored to collaborate with her on this production. Her press is a collaborative part of this show. So we're honored that she's here. And we're going to start by talking with our artist this morning, and after a little bit of conversation, we will do a couple. Actually, let's start with the excerpt. How about that? Let's give them some energy from inside this play. We didn't want to give too much away from Realm of the River this morning. We want to leave intrigue around it. There's also a lot of profanity in the play. You have to be 18 years old to watch this piece, so we had to carefully select the scenes that could be heard on public airwaves. So we're going to start with a scene by the characters Emir and Esme.
Should I do the elevator?
Yeah, yes. And then why don't you introduce yourselves and say your part in the show and who you're filling in for this morning and all of that.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Morgan Danielle Day. I play Augie in the show, and I'm so happy to be here. I am filling in for the fabulous Karina, who plays Esme, and I will be doing the scene with this amazing actor over here.
Stop. you got me blushing this morning. I mean, you know, it's early. I still am drinking my coffee. But my name is Brandon Williams, Brandon Ramon Williams. I am Emir's character. I think just coming along with this project has been something that I could not have been more happy with, to work with such great actors. To my right is another amazing star.
Hello, my name is Sawyer Shine, and I play Otto, sort of like the antagonist, if you want to look at it simply, but we decided to complicate things a little bit more and make it a little bit more confusing than that. How would you describe Otto?
Otto is a man who is not living in congruence with love because he hasn't been loved.
Yeah.
But throughout the story, he changes.
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses to do his work. Would you say that's true, Sawyer?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which this particular character, Otto, was inspired by a particular man I met in Lancaster Men's Prison. And I had never seen so many men willing to do their work. It was on A Yard, really, really, really doing their inner work. And it changed me forever. I've never been the same again, because once you witness that and you see what it looks like, I didn't grow up with that. I wasn't surrounded by that. So when you actually get exposed to it, to people really putting in the work, it's like, oh, that exists. And there can be more of that in this world. And I think your character, Otto, is beautiful in that regard, that he does shift and change, right?
Yeah.
And he's so instrumental in the story.
Hmm.
Without giving away too much.
We don't want to give away too much, but he definitely wants to change. He just struggles to find the tools to change in the way that he knows that he needs to. He just lacks the guidance, never had in his life. So he knows what he wants to be, he just doesn't know how to get there.
Wow. That's really well articulated. And it's like every single time the end of this piece comes up in rehearsal, I end up weeping because both of these male characters instigate each other's transformation just as much as the other women characters in the play. Because there's, you know, there's three women, another woman who we won't get into too much, we don't want to give her away, another woman character, very ethereal character, but then these two men. And the men are such strongholds in the story and to each other and to each other's shifts and changes. Do you want to speak on that a little bit more before we read, actually? Mm. How you all engage with each other?
Without spoilers, yeah.
It's hard not
to. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I think, actually, as far as casting goes, I don't think you could have picked a better yin and yang. Sawyer's an amazing actor, really embodies Otto. I believe Amir speaks a lot to my life and my struggles, being the only male in my household. But at the same time, just constantly searching for his tribe and his people, but also finding balance in that. But I think that Otto's character is a drastic version of who Amir could have been had he possibly taken a different route. But he finds solace in being there for people, loving people, and caring for people. He has a big heart, but also he's very mysterious, which I love. And I think that speaks to me as well.
Yeah, I think Otto's just been surrounded by terrible influences his whole life.
Yeah.
His father wasn't great to him. We'll find out later. You know, his mother wasn't around as much as he would have wanted her to be. And he knows he wants to be a better man. He just has never had that example set for him. So when he meets Amir, he's like, that's what I want to grow up to be. Like, this is who I want to surround myself with. Like, he's inspired. He's just like, why am I so drawn to this beautiful man? I'm like, Otto's so inspired by him. It's beautiful because it's also like I As a person, like, I hit it off with you, which is great because it makes it so much easier to for our characters to connect to, because it's like, I already admire you so much in real life. So it's so easy. It's really nice to be able to play with that through the eyes of Otto as well. Of like, how can we incorporate my real admiration for you? And how does this inspire? Because that's not in the language. That's not in the in the words. That's something that, like,
There's so much subtext.
But, sure, like, that didn't even have to be. That's not written anywhere. That was something that we found organically, which is just so cool.
Totally,
it's so beautiful.
And we don't have a lot of dialogue together, but there is a lot that happens that you'd have to be present to see, emotionally. But at the same time, it's very encouraging, you know. These people, they really struggle to find togetherness, you know, in their own ways. So I think it's a beautiful story, and the way that it's written, I couldn't have been more happy to be a part of this project, but also working with amazing actors as well.
And I love everything you're sharing, because I feel like oftentimes in women's work, we don't explore quite as in depth what is the role that the men are playing? What role are they playing in the healing transformation of everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And how can that look different than how it has been looking? Because it's not a woman's matter, it's a human matter, right? Mm-hmm. And so that I just... In the room, in the rehearsal room, you two as human beings and actors are so lovely to work with, and you give so much to this story every single time we're in the room that I know all of us are learning, right? All these very complex dynamic layers around what does it take for us to heal, together, because oppressed groups, they need each other to pull out of that, right? It takes all of us. It's not their problem. It's us together in this. And when you all are in the room, right, Morgan's nodding her head, we feel that, and we feel the space you hold. And it's very powerful and very transformative. And I know we're all changing by the minute from this process. Morgan, you've worked with the Roots and Wings Project several times for several years. And now you're playing Augie, and this morning reading for Esme.
Yes.
You are such a dynamic actress, and I've seen you and Sawyer work together previously last year in the trilogy that the Roots and Wings Project helped produce in California Story.
Oh, yeah.
Written by Roger Q. Mason.
Shout out, Roger.
Shout out to Roger, our longtime collaborator. We've been collaborating with Roger for decades. But, Morgan, how could you express your experience so far working with these phenomenal artists and discovering Augie and the world of Realm of the River?
Oh, sure. So, I mean, to speak to the artist, right, I'm so proud and I'm so honored and I'm so deeply humbled to be in the room with artists that take this work seriously. You know what I mean? Mm. That do the work to dive deep into this complicated language. You know what I mean? But show up prepared, show up willing to do the work, show up with big hearts and open arms, you know what I mean? And love. The room is so loving, you know, and not just the actors, but Jesse as well. I mean, it's a very nurturing process. And so just working together with this particular cast, I think there's a healing element to it. There are some times where I'm feeling anxious or I'm feeling a little tired, and then I get into rehearsal and I'm like, oh, this healed me. Yesterday, for example, you know, I was with my husband in the morning and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I'm feeling so anxious and I don't know why. Got into rehearsal and oh my goodness, when I tell you that it went away, and what people don't really understand about anxiety is that it's physical. So it's like no matter what you try to do sometimes, it's like it's there. It's not a thing that's in your mind. And to feel that just slowly fade away when I come into the presence of these amazing beings, I'm so honored and I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful. And, you know, as far as finding Augie is concerned, I think it's interesting because she and I, we don't have a lot in common, but we do have a lot in common. You know what I mean? I think Augie, when I'm discovering her, is absolutely a protector. And Morgan is a protector. I will go to the four corners of this earth to protect the ones that I love. My family, my husband, my cat. Come on. you know, even as a former educator, my students, you know, like my students could be so bad, but I'm like, but you're not about to talk about my students, you know, that's my family. You know, so Augie is a protector and Morgan is a protector. I see Augie doing everything she possibly can to protect these women around her who are actually a little more fragile than her. And it's because Augie has lived, you know, a rougher life. She's been through some things. She's a security guard. And I've made the personal choice that she's a security guard at a casino, morning shift, of course. And, you know, and I think that explains her jovial nature, right? Because even though, you know, you may see certain things at a casino, it's also a lively space. And so you're going to run into regulars. You're going to run into people that you see every day. And I feel like everybody loves this woman. I really do. I feel like everybody loves this woman because she's so kind-hearted, because she's such a protector, because she's real. You know, she's real. But, you know, she doesn't play, but she's also gentle in her approach to an extent because she realizes sometimes, you know, everybody can't handle what she has gone through and, you know, how she might be able to receive messages. So I love being able to protect these women. And it's completely a different dynamic. I would say that she is the eldest of three children, where I'm an only child. Morgan is an only child. And out of all of my cousins, I'm the baby. So, you know, being the one that's been protected all her life to suddenly grow up and become the protector and then play this role of Augie, in which she is the protector and what she has to do for these women and how territorial she becomes over the people that she's protecting. It's just been an honor to figure that out and an honor to play her.
Well, and it's very complex because they wind up in a situation that is so dangerous to their future, to their present. Mm-hmm. And your character is instrumental in figuring out how to navigate that. We're trying not to give this away, but it is a situation, you know, it's like when you go to women's prison, it's so different than men's prison in that the men get visits and they get married and they get to have families in there and the women are down for them and they will do their sentences with them. Whereas with the women, and I do want to say the Roots and Wings Project, we've had a program, a writing program at the women's prison in Chino for 8 years. And the women get forgotten. They get left. And their mothers, 80% or more are mothers, so they're separated from their children. And they're only 4% of the population here in California that's incarcerated. But it's also so hard on the body because prison was built for men, not for women. So it really tears down the body, the female body. And, of course, there's always an attempt on the spirit and the emotional life. And so Augie sees that impending danger. Right, Morgan, and is really trying to mitigate and figure out what they can do to protect themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as somebody that, you know, as speaking for Augie, real name Augustina, as someone who's had a troubled past, who's done a stint before, why would I want to go back to that, you know? To see the troubles that I've seen, to experience the troubles that I've seen, that I've experienced, to come out with heart and love, you know, Augie's gonna fight to do whatever she can to protect herself, to protect her loved ones, because I'm not going back.
No, you're not, but you did go in recently with the Roots and Wings Project for Luminous Streets. We took two plays in there. It was not easy to get that work inside. And we are looking to take our piece in there, Realm of the River, soon as well, and praying that that happens. But Morgan, what was that experience like for you taking theater with the Roots and Wings Project into the prison in Chino, into CIW?
Well, you know, as someone who had never visited a prison before, never been inside, I didn't really know much about it. I didn't have expectations, but I was a little intimidated. And I will say that being in front of those women changed my life. They are so elegant. They are so witty. They are so intelligent. You know, they are so artistic. They gave excellent feedback. They were an excellent audience. You know what I mean? Like, they were so invested in the work. And it humbled me. Because I said to myself, wow, I felt intimidated coming in here, but look at me learning from these women who are here, well, in that prison, writing plays of their own, you know, having riveting dialogue with us, you know, encouraging us as actors. And then you hear just a little bit of their stories and you realize these women have been through so much. And it just made me want to go back. It made me want to go back and be around them because not only did they inspire me, but I hope I inspired them. I really do hope so. And, you know, they need this work. They need this work. They need a place to let it all go. They need some escapism. They need art. And art saves lives. I truly believe that.
Literally.
Yeah.
Amen.
And, right? And Realm of the River, if it's a standalone piece, right? If you don't relate it to prison, it's its own story. But I feel like prison's a metaphor for what goes on out here. The circumstances are exemplified, but, you know, we all are bound by society and bureaucracy, right? Things that keep us from feeling and being free.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, can we hear an excerpt? So the top of the play, again, the ladies are riding out. It's really, really fun. We'll give you the plug and the details from one of our producers after we read some of the material from the play. We'll give you the details. But this is a fun scene toward the beginning of the piece.
Boo.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
And there are many reasons why people come to play.
I come to pray.
Now, most don't think of a nightclub as a place of invocation.
They do. They think about it.
Hmm.
It's me. People come to call forth, to forget, to remember. I can't remember your name.
Amir, you don't look like you need to do any of those things.
People make up stories about what our eyes see. It's everything that can't be seen that really has the influence.
Who is loving you somewhere now?
Excuse me?
I know there are many who have you burned in their hearts. Who's the one you give your attention to?
He may not deserve it.
Exactly.
I'll dance the night away and figure that out. Look at you, all up in my business. You're bold talking to me like that.
Hey, you're the one that came here for sanctuary. But it also feels like the last place you find it, doesn't it?
I come for sanctuary with myself, so there is nothing to find, only to access. Sweat and beats and liquids elevate.
You smell like magic.
Because I am.
No, really, though. It's gardenias, frangipanis, and jasmine.
It's me.
You like to read?
I do.
What do you do?
I'm a drummer.
No.
I swear to God, you.
I'm a runner.
As in professional?
As in 7 miles a day and extra if I have a soda.
Dang. Your energy turns over fast. You smile a lot.
You take risks?
I do. I try to try different things, new things.
You don't take no.
I'm a woman. I get told no a lot. No means opportunity.
You create from your heart?
I do. I keep pushing. I try to think of as little as possible. It doesn't always work. I am a mother. I have a 9-month-old baby. Thank you.
You are most welcome.
Thank you.
This cast is so incredible.
That was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
So beautiful.
It doesn't get old.
And I wish, you know, we can't. Sawyer's brilliant, but if he dare read his piece, it's going to give away
everything.
But we would love to hear from Gabby. Gabby has been our development director. We've been collaborating for 2 decades. She is such an extraordinary woman and works so hard as a producer, but also as a person who brings so much care to the Roots and Wings project. She's such an extraordinary artist. Filmmaker, a theater maker, a writer, a graphic design artist, and again, just a phenomenal producer. And it's such an honor to continue to collaborate with Gabby in the Roots and Wings project. She's also one of my dearest friends, and I just have so much love and respect for her. She's going to break down all the show details for us this morning, the cast, and then we have a really incredible crew of people working with us, from the costume designer to the NMC coordinator. She's going to break that all down for us.
Yes, thanks. So first, thank you for our beautiful cast, as Jesse said. And yeah, you really want to come join us for this. It's a world premiere, Realm of the River, written and directed by Jesse. It will be presented at the Rosenthal Theater at Inner City Arts for 2 weekends only. So now is the time to go get your tickets. It's running September 18th through the 20th and September 25th through the 27th. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. The show stars Morgan Daniel Day, Sawyer Shine, Sarah Ann Salewski, Crystal Tugatti, Corina Vella, and Brandon Ramon Williams. For tickets, please visit arealmoftheriver.eventbrite.com. And we do welcome groups. So if you have a group of 10 or more, please, you know, reach out to us. We do have group discounts. So we would welcome your group to come see, you know, to experience the show. And then if you want to learn more about the Roots and Wings Project and our team, visit therootsandwingsproject.com so you can find out more.
And then we have our recent flyer. I'll let you pull that up to give some of those details. But we do specialize in new work. This is our 3rd world premiere in a row. And, you know, we're all learning we've been working. But we're all learning what this is together. We're collaborative. Like, when we get in that room, we got to figure it out together. We don't know what this is yet, right? We're discovering it together. And that's part of the beauty. Yesterday at the end of rehearsal, I was crying so hard, and I was trying to give notes, and the cast just came up to me, and Brandon brought Kleenex, and we all hugged each other, and we held each other, and I cried, and I felt so much gratitude for this cast, because y'all are the Roots and Wings Project. Like, this is the work that we strive for, that we dream of, and this is why we do what we do, because of you all, because of this level of artistry and commitment and professionalism. You know, y'all are just a dream come true to this story, truly, and to our company. Did you grab the
this one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to read off the names of our collaborators before we take a station break?
Yes, let's do that. Okay, so first of all, we should, you know, give a big shout out to Nastasia Cordero, who is our, you know, part of our team.
Love you, yeah. Nastasia. She's our media director and a producer on Realm of the River.
Right, yeah. So, and then we have our stage manager and lighting designer, designer Chiana Niedbalek. We have our costume designer, who we've also worked with for many, many years, Abel Alvarado. So we're so grateful to have him on board. We have our fight coordinator, Raisa Donato.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's been working with you guys.
Yeah. And she was one of the stars of Luminous Streets in downtown in 2019, and also did fight coordination work on that show.
Yes.
She's marvelous.
Yeah. And then we have intimacy coordinator, Joy DeMichelle, who's been working with you guys as well. Music is, again, this music artist you've been working with, we've been working with for many, many years, Romanowski. Yes,
Roman.
He's doing the music. And just announced, choreographer Boogie Frantic is going to be working with our cast starting next week, right, I think? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I think, did I miss anybody?
I think that's...
Our projectionist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Savon
DeGaulle.
Yes.
She's going to be doing the projection.
We're very excited to collaborate with her. So the story is being embodied visually at the Rosenthal. It has very tall ceilings. It's very beautiful in there. There's a balcony. It's a gorgeous space. We did Tree of Fire in there. We did another play in there, and then several one-off events. And also, I taught there for 8 years, so it's just a very beloved space. And you know, we feel so grateful to be collaborating with Inner City Arts on this project. It's an honor to be back there. It's a multi-million-dollar facility in the heart of Skid Row. You'd never expect it, right? You walk in and you're like, where am I? What? Yeah. Don't worry, there's parking lots. So you have a safe space to park your vehicle. We are going to go to a station break. And when we come back, we will hear more excerpts from Realm of the River. And we're going to be in conversation with Brenda Vaca from Riot of Roses Press. We're super excited about that. And in conversation further with the cast of Realm of the River, we're going to play a music cue by Romanowski called West Key. Here we go. We'll see you after the station break. Thank you for joining us.
DJ in the hand slide, MC with a tight rhyme, that's why you need to set it off. Right, everybody on the floor, man, I know the crowd's hype, and they got their hands in the sky. I like it. When they kill West, when they kill West, when they kill West, when they kill West, West Key. Once a Roman starts to man it now, then he gets up and starts to plow. They put their feet up on the floor. You can hear it now. The globe is bouncing, speakers jumping. People sweating, they need something. Hit the bar, bar, bar. Hit the bar. And for the Key West, West Key, West Key, West Key, West Key, West Key, West Key. In the Key West. In the Key West. In the Key West. Key West, West Key, West Key, Key, Key.
ski well, yeah, to hit the dance floor and flounder, why don't ya? Whiskey, whiskey, in the Key West, in the Key West, whiskey, in the Key West, in the Key West.
Good morning and welcome back to Think Outside the Cage. Our show addresses all matters of mass incarceration. I'm your host for today, Jesse Bliss, returning. I was producer on the show for a decade, and it's such an honor to be back. And I want to give, again, my massive respect to Jerry Silva, the founder of Think Outside the Cage, and my dear colleague, Mark Cofield, the host of Think Outside the Cage. This is a really important program, and we are honored to be here today with the Roots and Wings Project, our theater company. We are a socially transformative company, and we bring stage and space to voices of the unnamed, unknown, and misunderstood. Our stories are written by women, women of color, and embodied by everybody. Our stories are embodied by everybody. And we're just really grateful from the bottom of our hearts to be here live in studio this morning with three of the remarkable cast members. And when I say remarkable, I've been directing plays my whole life. This is my favorite cast. I love these artists so much. Do we not laugh together?
Yes.
We laugh, we cry, we
dance.
Everything.
We dance.
Dance.
We
dance. It's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's a vibe.
Literally, like every rehearsal, we even write together sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, we get down and we have fun, and we're at this point where, like, I feel like we understand each other right now and how to support each other in the room. And I feel like what you said earlier, Morgan, like, when I come to that space, I feel happy, because we're at our best when we're creating, and even better when we're supporting each other in that process. And we're, as we were saying earlier, we're discovering what this play is. It's a world premiere, Realm of the River. So we can't pretend to know it, because we don't. We're meeting her for the first time, like, oh, hello. So it's a team effort to figure out the intricacies of the story and what's happening in it. So we're going to hear an excerpt now. I want to be transparent and say that there are a lot of curse words in this play. And I also want to say it's a difficult play language-wise, because the language is very old world and eloquent, and at the same time, it has a lot of poetic. It has a lot of poetry in it, mm-hmm. You know, in the language. It's a fusion of street grit and poetry. And so it's not easy. It's not easy language. And the women are eloquent. They're eloquent, but they also are part thug. And so, I think everybody in this play is eloquent and part thug, all of these characters. But so we did adjust the language for the airwaves this morning. There are a lot of curse words, so we're changing some of the language for that purpose. But you got to come see the play so you can get the real deal. Come join us. But yeah, this is Morgan Daniel Day with a monologue by Augie from Realm of the River.
Forget that. It's society breathing capitalism down your bare neck. There is so much money made off of women feeling inferior, particularly feeling ugly, when the fact of life is every single person in the world ages. Any little hot thing running game with her tight behind is one day, sooner than she knows it, gonna have breasts that fall south, wrinkles, and cellulite. How can we hate what happens? What is inevitable? Truth is, the wise woman is a vault of glitter, laughter, crunk times, wisdom, experience, beauty, magic. Each individual to any specific woman, forget the beholder. Everyone is beholden to something that may or may not be healthy and in the highest order of good. But you, the wise and lived woman, you got some stuff the planet needs. That age-old patriarchal head freak of trying to make you believe you went wrong somewhere by waking up and thriving so many days in this life has got to go. You should receive a medal and lots of inquiry from younger people trying to get their stuff together. Not grief because you ain't dumb and tight behind.
Ooh! Wow.
Go ahead, Augie.
Tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister, Sawyer. It is. And I think that piece kind of represents the world of the play in that it's breaking stereotypes. There is none of these characters, all the characters are dynamic, right? Can you actors speak to that, like how these characters are dynamic? What makes them dynamic and what makes them different from characters you might normally experience in the American theater?
Well, I know, you know, one thing that you've stressed in rehearsal, Jesse, and especially with your writing, is that you got tired of not seeing women express anger on stage. And, you know, that's something that I had to think about and come to terms with. And I do see it sometimes, but I don't see it nearly often enough. We are nuanced. We are multidimensional. And women feel, you know, we really feel. We have very full lives and we are actually in touch with our emotions. So we know how to show them. And so seeing, I'll speak for Augie in particular, you know, I'm not going to give away anything and it's hard not to, you know what I mean? But her wrestling with things that she wants to give up to be a better person. You know, I certainly feel that struggle, especially in Act Two, where it's like, oh, I'm going to give this up. But who y'all are testing me today? You know, you're certainly testing me today. But not just the rage, the vulnerability, because people expect her to be extremely tough. They're like, oh, she's the security guard. She's the protector. But where does all of that come from? You know, what has she dealt with in her life to harden her that way? Why does she have such internal guilt all the time for just being happy? You know, these are things that I see. So, yeah.
I think for me, and Amir's character, you know, I think we all deal with some form of past traumas that lead to internal struggle that we all essentially are going to have to come to terms with. And the healing process that leads up to that, I think there's a lot of accountability that takes place in this play that most people try to avoid. You know, there's no avoidance in this entire play. Everybody's very much so faced with themselves. Amir sounds like a mirror because I believe there is some reflection there, but also the depiction throughout the entire play definitely it's beautifully told, and the way that every character has something different that they bring. Everybody's so unique in their own way, and the way that they shape this entire project is it's something that you just have to see to witness, because we all get we've all been emotional throughout the process, which is the crazy part for me, because this is technically my first actual play. But I have enjoyed every second of this process, and being able to watch everyone discover something new. Because every time we come to this this room, we are discovering new things. We are constantly putting this work up, and we are finding new ways and nuances and discoveries throughout the dialogue. And I think that for me has been like a really huge something that's just come to light. And I think that it's grounding, and it's very much so human. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be able to connect to it in multiple ways, but also just having that, being a humanitarian and understanding the empathy is a good place to lead from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And coming from a place of accountability, I think Otto is somebody that is someone that absolutely has none. Because he's never had any characters in his life that have inspired accountability. He doesn't know what that is. And so I think Otto is what happens when masculinity goes unchecked. It's something that's possible for all men. Sometimes I wonder if it's something that we're all born with and it's something that we have to work away from and it takes effort. And it does, and it's not fun. Like at one point, Augie says, "You've had to live with yourself." She says to Otto, "You've had to live with yourself your whole life, you poor thing." And it makes me think, like it's. He's a victim of himself. You know, like I suppose he really, really wants to change. He just has no idea what direction to go. Like I said before, and it's not fun to be him, and it's not fun to see the path of destruction that he leaves in his wake. It's not fun to be the menace in the room. So when he sees a mirror, he's like, "Wow, like why can't I be like that? Like what went wrong in my life?" But he doesn't know how to check in with himself. He doesn't really understand how to count the ripples of his past and see what guided him on this path of, you know, entitlement and social destruction. But then he sees it in the people that he admires. Like, it wasn't in his father. It's not in any of his friends. Like, the behavior that is so unacceptable in his society is so acceptable in his friend group and the people that he surrounds himself with, or the people that will accept him for who he is. So he's never really been forced to question himself until this play, and this play is what happens when he is finally forced to question that, and then you see how he answers.
Wow. That was so powerful, how you gave so much insight without giving the story away. It's hard to do with this piece. Wow. Such truly remarkable talent in this room, and these actors are just extraordinary. You got to come out and see Realm of the River, the Rosenthal Theater. Gabby will give you the details again in a few minutes, but we want to hear from Brenda Vaca. She's a really, really talented, extraordinary writer with her own body of work, but also now a publisher, and has brought her publishing company, Rite of Roses, into this really beautiful space so quickly in only 5 years. Brenda, you want to speak about your work?
Absolutely. So I am Brenda Vaca. I'm the founding publisher at Rite of Roses Publishing House. I think it's actually our 5th anniversary this month. Yeah. We're 5 years old, barely, so we're in kindergarten now. And we've done a lot really quickly, and we were talking about jumping timelines, and that's exactly what the work has been. The house was established to illuminate historically silenced voices and narratives. So that's where we gravitate whenever we pick up books, manuscripts, from poetry to memoir, to A Record of Light, which is coming soon, dropping early 2027. It's a memoir in plays, poems, and prose. And it's, again, the stories that you don't typically hear, but the stories that you hear around the kitchen tables, out for walks with your friends, with your closest confidants, people that you trust, certainly stories that you hear in prisons. Right? Things that you don't typically see on the big screen or see in the New York Times bestseller, but we're changing that little by little. We're showing up in places and taking up space where we typically haven't been allowed to.
It's very powerful work. Brenda has been such a remarkable editor for me, because this has been a very vulnerable process in that when you write a script, it's imagination and experience and observation all mixed together. And nobody knows your business as a playwright. That's, you wrote a play. Like, hello, here's the gift. Memoir's different because this book goes on the journey of my life and how these works of art were inspired. And there's been violence along my path. A lot of it, really. And so it's been a frightening process. It's been a beautiful process. I've changed by light years from from doing the work. There's got to be a box of Kleenex next to me when I write, because it's been really difficult. And what I've learned so much from Brenda, and one thing I want to ask you about, Brenda, one thing I've really learned from you is how healing it is as a writer to tell the darker stories as yourself, which I've never done until this point in my life. And specifically around violence and women, which Realm of the River goes into, women pay a very high price for the violence against us, which is so ironic. Mm-hmm. We end up paying prices that are just, it's unfathomable,
right?
There's people listening now from inside prison, living a price. Their life is not theirs any longer. They're living in a punished environment. Mm-hmm. They're being punished. So, Brenda, can you speak to that burning fire in you that wants to advocate and does advocate for women writers to tell their stories and to tell their truth regardless of the consequences?
Absolutely. I think it's so critical for us to share our truth and our stories. I think that when a writer does that, when an artist does that in whatever medium that they choose, musicians, painters, sculptors, however the case might be, poets, playwrights, when we speak our truth as ourselves, we're taking our power back, right? We're standing in our absolute truth. And it's out loud. So it's one, we've reckoned it with that truth internally, and now we're reckoning with that truth, come what may, right, publicly. And that, for me, as a poet myself, as a published poet, I was the first writer that I published. It was so cathartic and healing. And even when I was shaking for sharing those initial stories, it was terrifying. But the more I did it, the more powerful I felt. And the more that people would come up to me and share how they were changed, or how it triggered a certain healing in them, or a certain breaking of the chains in what captured them, right, and what bound them. And what I see in your writing, Jesse, is the same, because I've been a fan of your work and have seen you as a playwright and familiar with your poetry. And to see how that work was largely metaphoric and personified of your truth. And so now to read the prose that you've weaved and braided so beautifully, it's just, for me, it's life-changing in the best possible way. And it is terrifying as a writer to, like, put your, literally to, like, bleed on the page, your tears, your blood, your joy, all of it. As a reader, you feel that, you know, and it meets you in your humanity. And for me, that's very liberatory, because there's pieces in my life where I hadn't reckoned yet. And then so when I meet a writer like you as an editor, it frees me. It frees me all the more, and then gives me more courage to speak more fully into my truth.
And that's what makes you a bona fide ally, because you've been in this with me. I hold space for other people, but you've been holding space as that editor for me. And you've encouraged me through your example, because you're in it with me, you know, and that to me is freeing. And that's how I like to work with the cast. It's like, just because I'm a director and they're actors, we're all artists. It's always a collaboration, no matter what role any artist is playing. And so I just appreciate how generous you are, Brenda, and how non-judgmental you've been. I've come to you crying at times in this process, bleeding even. I've had cold feet. I've had all kinds of different things. I've had moments where I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm so excited.
I'm awesome.
Oh, yeah, this is great. This is great. Right? It's been all of it. And you are a true ally, because you've met me with nothing but love. And, you know, there's a lot to learn, I think, for the way all of us in this room engage with each other. Because I think every artist at this table right now, I think we all approach each other with a deep level of respect that makes the work so possible. I mean, Gabby, you're that way, too. You're extremely collaborative and extremely loving. And the Roots and Wings Project would not be the Roots and Wings Project if it wasn't for you. I mean, it's a collaboration, you know, that we have. Do you want to speak to that, Gabby?
Yes, of course. I mean, that says a lot about the Roots and Wings Project in general. Yeah, it's very collaborative. We work together, you know, right now, especially you, me, and Nas, you know, so tightly. And there's a lot of respect, you know, for each other. There's a lot of integrity in the work that we do. And that, I think, is helping us create all of this body of work that we've been creating for the past several years. That's really important, you know, because it makes it a really good environment to work in, a positive environment. And I think that is hopefully reflecting also with other artists that we're collaborating with. The whole, you know, the project, the whole Roots and Wings Project is a collaboration, like Jesse said. And we're also really proud that it's woman-owned, and we're unapologetically woman-owned, unapologetically a woman director, unapologetically woman producers. And, you know, regardless of how difficult that is at times in our society because of how our society is shaped, we continue to do it and we continue to endure and we continue to not apologize that this is going to continue and we're going to continue, you know, creating this beautiful work that we're doing, especially now with this world premiere, yet another world premiere.
Yet another one.
That we're, you know, embarking on. Yeah.
And I love what you just said about, you know, we hold each other up because, you know, like she said, it is no joke. We have to be real and honest in this room. Being a women-ran company in a male-dominated industry, if I say something, if I just say something as a woman, it will not be received the same way at times than when if a man says it, right? So we're facing all these barriers and obstacles just on the count of our gender, right, Gabby? And so there are times, like, we laugh a lot. We laugh a lot because we have to laugh because this is hard. And it's hard to navigate this business. And it's hard sometimes for people to take us seriously or see the vision that we fight for. And I think you, Gabby, as a producer and an artist, you're very unwavering in your conviction. And if something gets in our way that threatens that vision, you will fight.
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to, you know, either we do that or we quit, you know.
Girl, and sometimes I'm on the ground like, help.
Yeah.
Do you want to give the details?
Sure.
Oh, and then we have to do a ticket giveaway.
Yes.
Do we have the phone number, though, for the guest callers? How could I have ever forgotten this number?
I do want to mention, too, that with the play, so it does go, it moves back and forth between the club and the dancing and the river where the women go, you know, for answers. And so we do encourage people to show up early. It's going to be a vibe, okay? It's going to be a vibe at the beginning. So we
Who's our special guest on opening and closing nights?
The DJs from
Artform Studio
are going to be there. So, yes, we do encourage you to arrive early. Fridays and Saturdays, doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. And then on Sundays, the matinee is at 2 p.m. Doors open at 1. Again, the dates are only 2 weekends, okay? So September 18th through the 27th, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. If you go to Realm of the River .eventbrite.com. You can get your tickets today. Groups are encouraged. We do have discounts, student discounts, senior discounts. So, yes.
And you can also purchase the book, A Record of Light, the memoir. It will be available for purchase and you will get an advanced reader copy with that purchase and be the first to read. And you could even write a review. Brenda, do you want to add anything on to that?
I do. So during the life of A Realm of the River, we will have QR codes posted up. So we're going to encourage people to pre-order Jesse's book, A Record of Light, of which an excerpt of Realm of the River is present. And we will send you, when it's ready, a digital advanced reader copy. And we are encouraging reviews because we want to get this medicine out because it is medicine. And we are breaking those binds. So order it. Show up to Realm of the River. I know it's going to be a vibe. It's beautiful. Congratulations, everybody.
Thank you, Brenda. And thank you for saying it's medicine. You know what? This play is medicine, and being around these artists is medicine, and their performances will rivet you. If I'm sobbing in rehearsal after a decade of writing this thing, then you know this is something to bear witness to. It's truly transformative theater. It has so much soul and so much heart because of these phenomenal actors. Do y'all want to add anything to that?
I'd just like to say that this project is very hilarious. I don't think that that's been touched on.
Yes,
the writing, it is something that you are going to enjoy and laugh your butt off to, even though there's so much undertone in the entire project. It is very hilarious. Mm. We laugh every day.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
to
well
make.
Said.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's very important to say that. No, it has a lot of comedy in it, right?
It does. Much so.
Thank you for saying that. And it pulls against the brevity of the situation that they're facing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Thank you so much for joining us on Think Outside the Cage. You know what? If you call in right now,